Hello, I am your guest host. My name is Caitlin Ellen. Today, Tara Minton is chatting to Rob Barron and Quentin Collins about their new album, All The Way, from their band Five Way Split. But first, the title track, All The Way. This was released last week on March 17th. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Jazz Podcast. My name is Tara Minton and I am here with Quentin Collins and Rob Barron. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
We've just been discussing what we're having as our morning beverages, and Rob is being true to his Yorkshire roots.
Yorkshire gold all the way.
Brilliant. So, Quentin and Rob, you're your names that I'm sure most of our listeners, particularly in the UK, will know. You're releasing a new album on the 9th of May. Can you tell us about this record?
Well, it's coming out on the 17th of March on Ubuntu Music, which is, I think, coming up very soon. Mm-hmm. And we're doing our launch gig at the Pizza Express Soho on May the 9th, which is very exciting. This is a band that's been together a couple of years. And we actually formed during the lockdown period, and when musicians like all three of us would have had a lot more time to actually get our creative claws into such a project. And we kind of went from there, really. There was a sort of a weekly get together, practice stroke pub session, which sort of formed the backbone of our sound. And since music, live music came back, we've been performing regularly, and this is the culmination of that, really. So that's kind of a little bit of background to the Five Way Split history so far.
It's brilliant. Do you remember that time when you could only meet if it was for business, and so all the musicians were booking studios to get together for a hang?
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because that's exactly what we did. And there was a time before that where obviously that they hadn't sort of ascertained that that was a feasible way around it, when we were sort of meeting in the gaps. Meanwhile, our courageous leader was, of course, stretching his own rules. But yeah, during that particular period, which I think was the second lockdown of the end of 2020 into 2021, when you could meet for business meetings, in parentheses, in speech marks, we were getting together pretty much every week, weren't we, Rob? And honing our material, original, and arrangements.
Yes, so we were meeting up every week. Initially, it was just me and Quentin that met up in a duo form, and then we got bigger from there. Initially, just playing hard bop material, and then as months went on, we started bringing original compositions, and that led to the album recording in 2021.
And Rob, you wrote a tune called Flattening the Curve, which I found quite fun.
I know that's one of Quentin's.
Oh, Quentin's. Yeah. Apologies.
No, that's okay. I mean, there's two. There's actually two. If you for the eagle-eyed amongst the album purchases, there's two which have very obvious connections to the pandemic, which actually, funnily enough, 2 years later seem a little bit dated in their titles, which I guess is a relief, I suppose. But Flattening the Curve is probably the most obvious of the two, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other one being Asymptomatic, which was a sort of asymptomatic was a buzzword, wasn't it, at one point, especially earlier on in the pandemic. And then, you know, if you combine a musical term with a pandemic term, this is what you get.
It's fantastic. I also really love the arrangement of All the Way.
Well, thank you.
The horn writing in it is superb.
Well, thanks. I mean, that was obviously there's always the Frank Sinatra version. That's probably the most popular version of that. And obviously it's a very smotchy kind of ballad tempo. But as with previous kind of arrangements I've done for a trio setting, I wanted to do something completely different with that. So what we've got on the album is a more of an up-tempo, hard bop version, I guess, of that, with a few kind of alterations in the harmony. So thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it.
As a quintet, you're trying to keep alive the energy of the kind of New York hard bop scene. Do you feel like the jazz scene in London and the UK is moving slightly away from that? And do you feel like it's important to make sure that it remains?
I think there's more straight ahead jazz happening in London than there was, say, 10 or 15 years ago, actually. I think there's more young people getting into playing swing and bebop. There's certainly some a lot more sessions that support that. It's interesting because I think London is kind of in a unique position where we're kind of in the middle of being in the European scene, and then there's obviously people that are influenced by the New York scene as well. So, but we're certainly going for that more American sound and influenced by that.
So there's this quote on your album by Johnny Griffin. Jazz is a music made by and for people who have chosen to feel good in spite of conditions.
Well, I guess in a way it sort of reflects where the band came from. In other words, or the period we came from, you know, it was a band formed during a time when there were little or no opportunities to actually perform for musicians, and most musicians were wondering what on earth was going to happen, like we all were, like the entire population. So, you know, we were getting together on a basis of not really the basis of let's get a band together, but the basis of let's get together and do what we do and remember who we are. Because, you know, when you're not performing, you're not playing, it's hard to maintain your identity as an artist and a musician. So I guess that's what that phrase, it kind of resonates in that respect.
You know? Yeah.
So it's sort of like a nod to where the band or when the band was formed, as well as, you know, it's a classic jazz quote, really. You know, Griffin was one of those musicians that always, you could always tell that the music was part of his soul, as all the great artists that we love had the same kind of vibe. And that's how we're trying to communicate the music too.
Yeah. It's a really poignant thing that you say, the loss of identity, because I think we all really struggled with that.
Mm.
Was there anything outside of music that gave you an anchor? Was there anything that you discovered?
Mm. That's a good question. Rob, anything spring to mind, mate?
I guess just be grateful for, and I think as musicians, although we couldn't play together, I think it was a time that we could actually still create. You know, we could still create, we could still write. I had more time than I ever had to practice. So I think the fact that we could kind of just get on with our thing and still create stuff without kind of having that opportunity to play, obviously, but I was kind of grateful that I had a piano to play.
That's a fair comment. I think it was a time for reflection, wasn't it? Especially that first lockdown. In fact, only that first lockdown, because after that, it just became super frustrating that we weren't back to our, you know, back at work and in our schedules. But, you know, in that first lockdown, there was a sort of a blissful period for everybody, that where we were able to actually rest, recuperate, and reflect. The three R's. There you go. That was a complete coincidence. And certainly I felt, you know, like Rob said, you know, you certainly feel an amount of gratitude that you're able to sit at the piano and compose, or whatever your chosen instrument is. And beyond that, just on a personal note, I'm quite into fitness and things like that, as lots of people got into that during lockdown. I suppose it was a time for me to rediscover that kind of thing, you know. A simple walk in the park or a run around the block, that kind of stuff, which I've always been into anyway. But yeah, nothing specific. I play quite a lot of chess.
Chess?
Did some reading, some composing, you know, little bits here and there.
Yeah. I got really into gardening.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
And we had such a beautiful summer, didn't we, 2020?
I know. I really felt for people who were living in, you know, apartment buildings.
Mm. Well, especially with families, you know, young families, that would have been the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my son, but he was, what was he? He's almost 14. So he was 11 going on 12. But he was actually not too bad, because we didn't have a garden at that stage. We do now. But, you know, yeah. But I mean, if you had a family of like four kids who were all under the age of 10 or something, and you don't have a garden, it must have been absolute hell. So that's something to be grateful for, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, once we got over the existential angst of the whole thing, it was a nice pause, that first lockdown.
First one, yeah.
Yeah. It was the second one I found harder, because I think we're all thinking that by Christmas it might be over. But it was that second lockdown from kind of January till May that I find kind of more tough, really. Mm. We just kind of got going, and then it was locked down for another 5 months. So.
Yeah, that was
a tough one for me.
And things have come back with a vengeance now for both of you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's for me, there's slightly less travelling abroad than there was before. But yeah, you know, the scene is thriving again. And I think it's in a good place. And it's good to see some projects come to fruition, like the one that we've recorded as well. And get it out there and play some gigs across the country.
Because it's been quite a while, because you recorded this in 2021 and you're releasing it on the 17th of March. Is there a reason why you decided now was the time?
Well, actually, it takes quite a while to do things properly. If you're really going to take an album release seriously, I think you've got to take each step, you know, as it comes. But also to put it succinctly, when there's five people who are not necessarily the band leader, and there's five band leaders, you've got a committee of five to discuss matters and take the initiative. So yes, it perhaps takes a little longer under those circumstances.
Yeah. And you've got some gigs booked. So you're playing the Fleece Jazz Club, and you're playing
We have a fairly decent gig list now, which probably we haven't published as yet. But starting, we've got a couple in May and over the summer, but particularly in the autumn, we will get round to publishing that in time. We're still booking a few bits and bobs, you know, and trying to get the regional spread a little bit more favourable and interesting, which is tough because, you know, venues book well in advance these days, so you know there'll be gigs stretching into 2024 to promote this release All the Way, it's called All the Way, not All the Way Promoted. And I would say probably we've got about probably double figures now in the book, 10 or so. Great. We're just waiting on confirmation of a few more, you know, the usual kind of the usual regional gigs, but we're trying to obviously just extend it as much as possible. It's tricky without the funding situation to get a band with five people on the road and without losing an enormous amount of money. So we're trying to obviously put money in our pockets at the same time as playing the music we love. It's a tough one, which is why we all work freelance, as I'm sure you do yourself. And we've all got various other projects. And this is more, I wouldn't call it a labor of love because that would be disrespecting how seriously we're taking the project. But it's certainly, you know, it's not one that's, if we were doing only this project, would pay the bills right now. But that's the aim, is to get there.
Yeah. I was trying to explain the fee scale of being a musician to a non-musician friend and talking about, you know, how some gigs you get paid an absolute ridiculous fee to sit in a corner and play for a bit. And then the gigs, you know, some concerts that can be sold out in a club in the middle of nowhere and the fee that you get basically paid for your petrol to get there.
Mm.
But obviously those are the ones that we love and live for.
Well, you have to balance it, don't you? It's a constant balance being an artist of any, I think, in any discipline. But, if you only did the gigs where you're being paid a fortune to play to a bunch of people who aren't listening, if you only did those, you would probably go mad if you were an artist with integrity. And if you're able to balance those with the ones which really are rewarding from an artistic and cultural point of view and a social point of view, because it's also really nice to get out and meet people who genuinely love your music.
Yeah.
And I think you're doing well. You're doing all right.
Yeah.
I mean, every jazz club's got a different budget, and it's important to realise that some clubs have got funding and they can pay more than others. So it's handy if you can get a run of gigs that are close to each other geographically, and that kind of helps in a way. But yeah, you know, it depends what relationship you have with your instrument, really, doesn't it? I mean, if you want to just do creative gigs and do the gigs with projects, then maybe you have to do more teaching or something like that. It really depends what your relationship is with music.
Yeah. It's never dull.
No.
Yeah. Except for that second lockdown, but we're talking enough about that now.
Yeah, let's forget about that.
I mean, I guess we have to remember as well that all the greats did all those good background gigs too. You know, Hank Jones did solo piano gigs. Cedar Walton and Ron Carter used to play little duo gigs at the Knickerbocker. And, you know, these were background gigs. And we're talking about, you know, the masters of the music. So I've never shunned the opportunity to play great songbook tunes either, you know, because you know, there's a lot of enjoyment and growth to have from that too.
I've played some great background gigs with burning musicians, and we've had a fantastic time, and nobody else, you know, none of the people at the party had any idea of what magic was happening, but for us it was brilliant. Sometimes you get that.
Well, often the pressure's off when you're conscious of the fact that no one's listening.
yeah. Great. Well, hopefully you will have sold out the 9th of March and everybody will be listening.
9th of May. Oh, I'm certain.
9th of May, 17th of March, 9th of May.
17th of March release, Ubuntu Music all the way.
Released on all platforms. Is it going to be released on vinyl as well? Or
I think we've had a discussion, and in actual fact, I've had a number of people approaching me privately asking if that's the case, which makes you think twice about not doing it. So it's a possibility. We've actually had the CDs now for a couple of months, and it seems so archaic, doesn't it, printing out 1,000 CDs. But in actual fact, there is an audience for CDs. CD sales are up last year. And if you get out on the road, as we are, you can still sell them. It's amazing, you know, in this day and age. But so yeah, it's available on CD, all streaming platforms, and maybe watch this space about the vinyl.
Fantastic. Well, Quentin and Rob, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Great stuff. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Jazz Podcast. This track is called Out of Wayne's Bag.